Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Brian Peek.
And Brian, you are sitting in for Brian Keller.
I am sitting in for Brian Keller today.
And you were giving a couple talks.
I was, yeah. It's VS Live this week here on campus, and I just gave a couple of sessions and doing my campus visit as always. So
Windows and Windows Phone?
A session on Windows 8 and a session on Windows Phone, yeah. Windows
awesome. Phone awesome. All right, well, let's get into it. Our top story is the ID at Xbox, the independent developers publishing program for Xbox One. And what this is going to enable folks to do is to build and publish games,
right.
Independent developers, so you don't need to go through a publisher and have games on Xbox, and you get the full power of the platform, right? So that means access to gamer score, mm-hmm. achievements, Kinect, and so on. This is huge.
It's very huge. It's great that we actually get access to everything. I know, like, on Xbox Live, indie games, as it exists on 360, there's certain things you can't do. You can't do achievements and leaderboards and things like that. But this, you actually get the full package.
And including a smart glass, which
yeah.
is very cool.
Yep.
So sort of companion apps, like if you want to have, say, your phone be, you know, a heads-up display.
Right.
For your shooter.
Sure.
So a number of cool things going on there, and you can apply for the program, and obviously, you know, this is sort of a phased rollout. They're
right.
doing a number of things, but they're giving dev kits where you actually get two Xboxes, and eventually they want to make it such that every Xbox can be its own dev
right.
kit. But the point here is go to xbox.com/ID, read about the program, and you can apply as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very
good
cool.
stuff.
So next slide, BSTFS 2012 Update 4 RC2.
That's right. That's a lot of numbers. But this is the next update of Visual Studio 2012. I guess it's going to be rolling out closer to the end of the year, but they're looking for people to test this out to make sure there aren't any regressions. But this is mostly a fix that, or an update that is bug fixes, not a lot of new features here. But if you go to the knowledge base that's linked on that page, you'll find a list of fixes for C++, Light Switch, the Profiler, Debugger. If you have one of those problems, definitely give it an install and give it a try.
Very cool. Now, next story. This is actually a really interesting one called NuGet Concierge.
Mm-hmm.
And think of it like Amazon service. People who liked, you know, ping pongs
right.
like to order ping pong balls, right? Those
right.
those kind of similarities or peanut butter and jelly or,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
whatever the example is. So what they can do, of course, is look at a config file for Visual Studio and see what you have dependencies on
right.
and then see the correlation of those dependencies. So for the example they use is, like, if you're using Knockout.js,
mm-hmm.
then probably you want, there's a high correlation between people who use that and Newtonsoft JSON.
Okay.
Right? So they can actually suggest to you different packages.
Yeah.
I like this idea.
That's helpful, yeah, because I know there are a lot of times it's hard to find what you're looking for in NuGet. There are so many packages up there now.
And that you don't even know. And it's like,
sure.
oh, I probably should add log4net or,
right, right.
or whatever the
no,
example
it's great.
Is. Very cool stuff. So what's in the new update for Windows Phone 8? What,
right.
what is this?
So this is for the GDR2 update that's rolling out to various phones and various carriers. Verizon, I think, just got it on the 928 and the 822, the HTC on AT&T. I'm still waiting for it on the HTC 8X on Verizon. So Verizon's watching. Could you please update my phone? I'd like to get this.
They watch constantly.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure that's the only thing they watch. But now, in GDR2, there's a lot of great stuff. DataSense has rolled out for more carriers. I think it was just Verizon specifically before. FM radio is in there.
And what's DataSense for?
Oh, what is DataSense? So DataSense kind of gives you a nice view of what apps are using data and how much they're using.
Mm.
So if you're on a limited plan where you only get 2 gigabytes a month, something like that, you can lock it down so that it won't go over those 2 gigs. But you can also see, hey, you know,
of the 2 gigs, 1.5
right.
was your email client.
Exactly. I'm tethering and I'm using 1 gig just on that alone, so
mm-hmm.
I should maybe turn that off when I'm not using it. So it gives
cool.
you that kind of a nice graphical view of all that stuff. But also in GDR2, there's stuff like the FM radio, which was removed, I think, between Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 8.
Okay.
Not every phone supports this, but those that can support it will get FM radio support back. New stuff to support the camera and the Lumia 1022. Voicemail, group texting, and fixes for the other storage issue, that other storage area that grows out of control sometimes. It'll help shrink that and keep that smaller over the course of time. And some good fixes for Xbox Music, too, where people were having issues with duplicate files showing up, duplicate tracks. Some good fixes in there, too.
Very cool. It seems like a must-have.
Definitely a must-have. Yeah, if you get it offered on your phone, grab it immediately.
Awesome. So this next one's actually from Visual Studio Magazine. Andre Balaz has an article. It's called Run ASP.NET Web API Inside Your Application. So ASP.NET Web API basically is a framework that allows you to expose things via JSON. Mm-hmm. And the idea here is, well, wouldn't it be cool if I can expose something on JSON, say, install it in on 20 different machines, but I don't want to have to force all those machines to run IIS, to set up the service, sure, et cetera. Some versions of Windows can't, don't have permissions to do that.
Right.
So this article actually shows how you can use ASP.NET Web API in a console application.
Okay.
So you can basically spin up and expose parts of, you know, a desktop API via JSON call, and then you can call it from different machines or call it do inter-process communication and so on.
That's very handy, especially when they're in the, like the home versions of Windows. You know, you can't install IIS on those, so
yeah,
being
and
able to...
it's dirt simple. There's probably a little more things that you have to do. Again, it's a MVC kind of model,
okay,
with maps, routes, and actions,
sure,
where you have to set up some of the initial stuff, but it's a pretty basic article and just really shows how you can do it.
Okay,
love
great
this.
Stuff, yeah.
Love this. I think we're going to have to use this.
We probably will use that.
Yeah. So what is this next article here?
Yeah, so this is awesome libraries for C# developers here.
Awesome libraries.
Awesome libraries, not just okay libraries, not
yes,
mediocre libraries,
yes,
certainly, but awesome libraries.
It's hit that level.
Yep. So this is looks like he's doing a series here. This is the first one about interactive extensions, so RX for short.
Okay.
So he goes through some information here, but a couple of the things he pulls out, which are extremely useful. There's in RX, you can have a do method. So you kind of think of this as a link sort of a thing, which is kind of how I think of RX in some way. I'm not sure that's accurate, but that's how my brain puts it together.
Sure.
But let's say you had a collection of 20 items and you wanted to do something to those 20 items. Well, instead of writing a for each loop and enumerating through and calling a method that does something to it, you can just say collection.do and then provide a lambda that would be executed against every one of those items in that enumeration.
Okay, cool.
So that's, I mean, just a single line of code instead of a for each that might get more complex or confusing. He also has something called a do while. So I can do that same thing, maybe while...
condition.
Yeah, while this is true, while the time is...
memory,
right,
sure,
while it's not 20 seconds have elapsed, something like mm-hmm, that. But just a nice little walkthrough of some of the basics of RX in this first look at his awesome libraries.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So this next one is actually from our MSIT team talking about how we're using Team Foundation Server inside of Microsoft. So these are internal usage statistics by Aaron Dormier from Microsoft. Some huge numbers here just in terms of, God, I was trying to think. I think there was 600,000 different builds,
okay,
that were done, 1.8 million work items.
Wow.
Like just... it starts getting scary on the work item part, and you know, unique users, they had 48,800, mm-hmm, team projects 7,800. So some awesome statistics on how they're, like, we are using Team Foundation Server inside of Microsoft. And one of the cool parts was folks in the comments started asking, hey, so how'd you get that query and graph,
right, sure,
to
sure,
get this specific report on number of users within a, you know, time interval? And they actually give the, instead of using SSRS, the reporting services. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, no, we did the straight queries, and he actually gave the queries per report.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Which is ever so handy.
Yeah, so you could run that in your own organization.
So if you want to see, you know, or have evidence of, hey, how are real people using TFS,
sure,
here's some real-world statistics for the first half of this calendar year.
Okay.
Very cool. Next slide.
Yep. So this is Matt Brock. He has a blog here, and post is about automating CodePlex releases in your PowerShell build and deployment scripts. So this is something that is useful for me and probably Clint, who
yes,
does a lot of stuff where we're always doing builds and putting stuff up on CodePlex. Him with the Coding for Fun toolkit, me with like Wiimote Library and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
So this is a nice set of PowerShell scripts that will build your project, push it to Git, push an Azure website if you have one of those. He actually builds a Chocolaty package as well. Chocolaty is that command line package installer dealy. And then uses the web service API of CodePlex to build a package and upload the zip file and create a new release inside of CodePlex all in one fell swoop, all in one script.
Yeah. So you guys have nothing to do now.
Nothing to do.
That's
awesome.
Right.
And we can just make a, you know, and now instead of waiting so long between builds because I don't want to go through the hassle of creating a new release on CodePlex.
Yes, because you want to NuGetify them as well.
Of course, yep.
And then doing the actual release part and all the deployment scripts.
Right. And this is like a one-line script. Well, I mean, the script isn't one line, but it's one line for me to run the script and have all of that happen.
I love it.
Yeah, absolutely great.
Very cool stuff, and hopefully more people will find the value there. So next article is George Mamaluds. I hope I got that name right. It's .NET data structures for prefix string search and substring search to implement auto-completion and IntelliSense.
Okay.
So what are we talking about here? I'm sure everybody's seen it. Say you start typing either, you know, IntelliSense and you get a completion list,
mm-hmm.
right? You start typing a couple letters. So how do you actually do that? So there's two examples. That he goes through and actually does a performance test on. One is sort of just a linear search,
mm-hmm.
right, which tend to work well with things that are under 10,000 items. And then another one, which is a data structure called a tree, T-R-I-E.
Yep.
And what that does is basically divides up all of the entries by letter, right? So if you're searching for the letter T, it then gives you the tree of all the connections mm-hmm. of that, T-O, and then T-O and T-O.
Sure, sure.
And every word within there. So it makes it, it's basically the data structure is designed to give you the prefix
right.
Search string and do it very efficiently up to, you know, a million rows, for example.
Okay.
So it does include an example and a CodePlex project, CodePlex project that actually goes through all of the details. So you can actually download a sample and play with it. And he talked about parsing, you know, a million items mm-hmm. and it worked great.
I remember seeing the graph on that one there, and it was pretty amazing how, you know, when you get to a certain threshold where you get above that threshold and the line just shoots straight up in terms of how long it takes to enumerate through that list to find the item.
Yes.
And with the data structure method, it's just a nice little, it's almost flat.
Yeah.
If you do it properly. Yep.
Yes.
Good stuff, man.
And I think a lot of people do this as well.
Sure,
or
sure.
want to do this. This yep. is a great way to reuse. Very cool. So what's this next slide?
So this is PlayScript. This is
our friend Miguel.
Yes, from Miguel and the
Miguel de Casa.
Yep, from the Xamarin folks. So this is, it's actually a language that's being developed by Zynga. So if you've played pretty much any mobile game ever, it's been probably made by Zynga, like Words
Farmville.
With Friends. Yeah, Farmville, Draw Something, all those games are Zynga games. And those are mostly written as Flash games, like on Facebook and whatnot. Most mm-hmm. of them are written in that. And so Flash uses a language called ActionScript.
Mm-hmm.
So what PlayScript is it's kind of a version of ActionScript that kind of melds C# and ActionScript into this thing called PlayScript.
Right.
And so you get some of the features of PlayScript, some of the C# features, C# 5 features added on there, which I'm assuming are probably like async, await, and things like that, because that's mm-hmm. a C# 5 thing. But it allows, if you are an ActionScript or Flash developer, that allows you to build a game using PlayScript that's now runnable across multiple platforms in one shot.
Including native client apps.
Exactly. And they've ported over the 3D APIs from Flash, and a couple of the other popular ActionScript things have been ported over. So just a great way to get your app written in a, if you know ActionScript Flash, you might know some C#, to get those apps across multiple platforms at the same time.
That's very cool.
It is very cool.
Very cool. Love it. So time for picks of the week.
Yay!
So my pick of the week is actually a project that was in the Kinect Accelerator, Ubi Interactive and Kinect for Windows. So the idea behind this is it actually uses a Kinect
mm-hmm.
and a projector, and it makes any surface basically like the old school surface.
Makes any surface a surface.
Yes, exactly. So an interactive surface. So they
right.
have examples of just, you know, say, that, for example, this wooden table. There's a projector pointing down, and all of a sudden we can use a map. Definitely check out the YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes everything interactive, whether you're pointing at a wall, whether you're pointing
yeah.
at a table. This is awesome.
No, I thought it was great just because it uses a projector. I mean, it can be almost any size. You're not limited to like a television where you have a 40-inch TV or a 50-inch TV and it gets super expensive to get a giant television.
Right.
Projector is probably cheaper and can go much, much larger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. I'm
yep.
going to have to add it. I'll make Clint buy it or something.
Yeah, exactly. You should build this.
Yes. Okay, so your pick of the week.
My pick of the week. So this is a website by Fabian Sanglard. So I tweet his links all the time. So what Fabian does, among other things, is anytime there is a source code release of a game, like a commercial game typically, examples here are Duke Nukem, Doom, Quake, Castle Wolfenstein, all those old style games and new games. Anytime there's a source code release, he will go through and do a code review of that source code.
How cool is that?
Yeah, so I mean, if looking at the Doom 3 source code, for example,
right,
hundreds and hundreds of C++ files, in order to get your head around all that, it's going to take you a while to dig into that. But he's got, you know, like an 8-part series of here's the important parts, here's the renderer and how it works, here's the network stack and how it works. Just fascinating information and condensed down into something that's readable in, you know, an hour versus the few days it would take you to do it all on your own.
The few days to get it to build.
Exactly. Just to build on your machine, let alone understand it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very, very interesting stuff. Check it out if you're into game development.
Awesome. Yep. All right, well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you next time.